You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by PronkPops.wordpress.com and KDUXWebRadio.wordpress.com. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas, with a voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. Welcome to the Pronk Pop Show. This is the Wednesday edition. And yes, I'm going to give you an update on the Senate impeachment trial. It's going on and on and on. It's become very, very repetitive. And I wish they would just vote, because I don't think many minds are being changed either way. I think most, if not all, the Republicans will vote not guilty, and all, maybe one or two brave Democrats will finding President Trump guilty. The problem from the very beginning is they don't have a case. Now, they're trying to make this that it's urgent that we remove him now. He's a threat to the national defense, and on and on and on. But it just doesn't convince anybody. And I think one of their problems is Adam Schiff's reputation for being a liar. I regard him as a pathological liar. Probably he's a sociopath, because he'll lie, and he's convincing because he's done it for years. And people that have followed this closely, and I would include myself, I'm not saying I know every detail, but I know the major outlines of this. You know, the best evidence is the memorandum of conversation. You can go read it. Now, you may or may not agree with it. I don't think it's perfect, but I don't think he did anything wrong. What the Democrats are trying to do is twist it into something that Donald Trump's trying to benefit by having an investigation of the Bidens. Well, I'd like to remind everybody that Department of Justice is under the executive branch, point one. And point two is a legitimate concern is corruption in the Ukraine. That was a big concern of President Obama and is a big concern of President Trump. But Obama would not give him any lethal aid. And it's only under Trump that Ukraine is getting lethal aid. And what I mean by that military aid is the Javelin missile system it's a tank killer or armored vehicle killer. And it's rather, to say they're hypocrites is not the word. They go on and on about, well, he's a veteran, he has these medals. I'm talking about some of the people on their side. The point is, it's the Trump administration that's supporting the Ukrainian government against Russia by providing these weapons and other aid. It's not just these. So I think that's bogus. And what they're arguing about, well, he delayed it. Yeah, I think it's less than 8 weeks. But that goes on fairly common. And especially when you're dealing with a nation that has corruption, you want to make sure that the money goes to where we want it to go. But the bottom line is, did Ukraine get the money? Yes, it definitely did. Now, I understand why there are many people in the government that thought they should have gotten it sooner, but I don't think 8 weeks was doing any big damage to the Ukrainians. They weren't expecting it until right now. So you have the best evidence being, in my mind, the memorandum of conversation. You have people that were on the conversation that agree that the MemCon described the phone call. It's all about a phone call. They're trying to turn a phone call into an impeachment. This is ridiculous on its face. But in the process, they mislead people. And they're repeating themselves. And I don't think they're convincing anybody. Now, I might be surprised that one or more of the Republicans in name only, the RINOs, you know who they are. There's maybe five that fit that category, but all of these senators, several of them are up for re-election, know that what the Democrats are trying to do is put by four, they're going to have to vote. And this is really directed at trying to gain control of the Senate. This is a super partisan, it's been described as weaponizing impeachment. I think it is. This is not a high crime or misdemeanor as defined. Now, let me make clear, I agree that you don't necessarily have to have a crime, but most impeachments, they do. But this simply doesn't rise to that level. Let's say you take the position that this was inappropriate. Now, I don't, but let's say you do. You would impeachment over this? I think the only reason you have people that hate Trump, and they hate Trump so much, if you say, tell them they hate Trump, and Nancy Pelosi is a good example, they get all upset. So I would call for the vote. Sooner the better. Let this be over and move on. However, the White House, Trump attorneys have to present the defense. And that's what we haven't heard. They're sort of, you know, I'm getting the impression they're trying to, it's like a marathon. They're gonna use as much of their time and repeat themselves, thinking they're wearing out and maybe get Republicans. I think they're having the opposite effect. I think they're turning off. Because what happens, senators talk amongst themselves. And many of them, not many of them, but enough of them know the details. The ones that know the details can answer where Republicans maybe be convinced. However, they didn't consider this, that, and the other thing. You see, if I were Donald Trump, I would have given the aid. And he did. I wouldn't have put a hold on it. I think that was a mistake. But you don't impeach someone for mistakes. This is a mistake I would like the president to make, because it sends a very clear message. If you are a government expecting aid from the United States and you have a well-deserved reputation for being corrupt, you might not get it. That certainly fits the bill with the Ukrainian government. Remember, the gentleman that's president today ran on an agenda to reform the government, because even the Ukrainians know that their government was corrupt, and they have made changes. And once that was clearly understood by the president, the hold that he placed on it was released. I think it's 55 days. I might be a little bit wrong in my math. And they go on and on and on about this, like Ukraine was going to fall if that aid didn't get to them. First of all, it didn't happen. They got the aid. What President Trump was concerned about is a number of Ukrainian government officials, ambassador and others, members of parliament, in writing, in newspapers, either editorials or in Ukrainian newspapers as well. They took the side of Hillary Clinton. Now, as far as I'm concerned, it's somewhat of a so what. But let me give you an example of how they twist this. They want to say that the Republicans, and this is unbelievable, it's hard for me to even say, that the Republicans wanted to say that the interference was not from Russia, but was by the Ukraine. No, that's not the Republican. No one holds that position. Republican or anyone that follows this, no. Republicans, Democrats, independents, yes, the Russians interfered in our election, but did it have any impact on the election? I think the answer to that is no, absolutely not. You know, the Russians can interfere all they want. Now, I think we should stop them or make sure they get the strong message. We don't appreciate what they're doing. But before we get on our high horse, the United States interferes in elections abroad. But remember, the Republican chairman of this committee, Devin Nunes, he wrote a report, and the problem that the Republicans were having is Obama would do little or nothing about it. It was the Republicans that were, if you will, blowing the whistle, sounding the alarm that the Russians are up to no good. But President Obama did not want to in any way go there. He went there after the election. That's what you need to understand. So this is this theory that the Democrats are trying to peddle is simply another lie. That's what's aggravating. There are a series of lies in this. Now, I think the easiest charge to refute, and Trump's lawyers, both the White House counsel, have already really done this in introductory remarks. When there's a conflict between the presidency and, in this case, the House, the remedy is to go to the Supreme Court. Go to the courts. And the Democratic Party, in terms of the House, their leadership there, did not want to do it. Why? It would take time. Yeah, it would take time. But that's the way it's been done for the entire history of the United States. Sometimes the president wins. Sometimes, and on occasion, Congress wins. That's the way to handle, if you will, differences of opinion or policy to settle it. We have three branches of government, not two. They didn't want to do that. So in my mind, this abuse of Congress is the bogus, really bogus. So I don't think they're winning any points there. Now let's take the so-called abuse of power was holding up this aid. And point two, Trump was concerned. He didn't want the Ukrainians to do what they did in 2016 and wanted the Ukrainians to look into it. Now, how did they twist that? Oh, they were going after the Bidens. Now, if there was corruption on the Bidens' part, well, let me back up. The Ukrainian government, both this one and prior ones, went after Burisma. And that was a gas company that hired Hunter Biden and his friend Devin Archer to be on the board of directors. And they got compensated over $1 million. Now, sometimes you hear the number 50,000, 83,000, a little over 100,000. And neither of them had any experience in oil and natural gas, the energy sector, nor in the Ukraine. Now, why would a foreign company, Burisma, do this? They wanted to have access, influence with Joe Biden. Joe Biden was the lead appointed by Obama to take the portfolio, if you will. You handle the Ukrainian matters. And he did. He made many trips. And one of the concerns of the Obama administration in making these trips is corruption. They set up a separate independent corruption bureau. But it was Joe Biden, and it was caught on videotape. He was at the Council of Foreign Relations, and he bragged about this. Now, this was just part of a roughly hour program that he got the prosecutor fired, and he did. Now, I bring it up because it's the Democrats that bring up quid pro quo, but what's the clear case of quid pro quo? It's what Joe Biden did. Ukraine was desperate to get loan guarantees, and they did. I'm not going to get into them, but I think Glenn Beck has probably done one of the best jobs. And maybe I'll add those videos here just so for those that, so you don't have to look them up. They're not there now, but it just reminds me. You know, one of the problems is there are a lot of names. And when you're dealing with the Ukraine, some of them are difficult to pronounce. And it's hard to put names and faces together and what their role is. But there were government officials that were siding with Hillary Clinton or the Democrats. And you had people that wanted to get all that money, that aid that we were sending into Ukraine. And Burisma got it through the person that now owns all of Burisma also owns a key bank. And a lot of money went missing. So it was a legitimate concern about corruption. And I think it was legitimate for Donald Trump to at least try to convince himself that that was not going to happen again and happened in the Obama administration. That's what's so aggravating about this. The big appeaser was Obama. Didn't give him the aid. And Russia, what happened? Russia took over the Crimea. What did the United States do? Nothing. I'm simplifying, but nothing. We don't want to annoy Russia. So it's really Donald Trump that is in his administration, together with Congress, and I will say this, bipartisan, both Democrats and Republicans, wanted to give military aid, especially missile systems, to be able to knock out tanks and armored vehicles that the Russians are using. And they got the aid. What's the complaint here? They didn't do it fast enough? During the 4 years that Obama, this was in his, not four, two years, a little over 2 years, Obama didn't do anything. Oh, he gave him aid, but not lethal military aid. Repeating and repeating these stories and leaving out facts, omitting facts, giving the full historical context, this simply does not rise to an impeachable offense. And there'll be people disagreeing with that. I understand that. And there are people that disagree. I wouldn't have said what Donald Trump said. But it wasn't Donald Trump that brought up this. You know, listen. Well, you can't listen to it, but some people have read it, and I played a good portion of that on a previous show. But you can read the transcript. This is one, and here's something else that really annoying. Anyone in an executive position, or for that matter, a sales position, you make a lot of phone calls, Now, when a president makes a phone call to a president of another country, that's not, many times, that's not at all spontaneous. It's, in other words, there are talking points that the various departments want to make, but it's up to Trump to decide how he wants to and what he wants to bring up. I don't think it was perfect, but it was appropriate. There's nothing in my mind in that phone conversation that's impeachable, nothing. And that's the problem that Adam Schiff and the Democrats have. You see, they didn't know and did not suspect that Donald Trump would release the transcripts. Donald Trump surprised them. And that's why I think, and this is, I think, the biggest mistake that Adam Schiff made was to make up a telephone conversation, because he was lying and misleading the American people. But you see, that is what they had planned to do, hoping and praying that Donald Trump would not release it because he had to declassify it. Not that there was anything classified in it. And once that happened, their best laid plans collapsed. You know, the truth, whether it's for or against you, when it comes out, I think you're remiss not recognizing it. They had a plan, a scheme, we're going to get Trump. And they had it all planned out. And then early on, remember the whistleblower that wasn't in on the phone conversation, that was repeating really hearsay of what a few, and I think it's the colonel, but who knows, somebody gave the so-called whistleblower some information. But we still have not heard from the whistleblower. We know who he is. So where are we at? I think the American people are very tired of this whole impeachment nonsense. And I call it nonsense. My concern is that the Democrats, and this is why I call it an unconstitutional impeachment, are using the impeachment clause, not in the manner that the Founding Fathers intended. It's not to settle political differences. It's really not, even though the process is very much politicized, you don't want to make policy differences impeachable offenses. And it never has been until now. This is a threat to the Constitution. Whether Donald Trump gets impeached or not, I won't say I'm indifferent. I just think it's wrong that the Democrats used it this way. And see, that's the big mistake they made, political mistake. Because there's a lot of people, Democrats, Republicans, and independents, that didn't vote for Donald Trump. I'm one of them. But given what the Democrats have done, I'm going to vote for Donald Trump because I want to punish the Democrats that did this, starting with their whoever their presidential candidate is. And I'm certainly not going to, I'm in Texas, I'm not going to vote for a Democrat senator, candidate, or district. And I think there are tens of millions of people in this category across the country that are going to have a similar response. I don't like what the Democrats did. It's more than unfair, it's dangerous. Because they are, in effect, rewriting not only the Constitution, but trying to cancel the 62 million Americans that voted for him. I didn't, but 62 million plus, and he got 306 Electoral College votes. He only needed 270. He won. It's the magic number is if you want to be president, you got to get 270 Electoral College votes. So I'm more or less done with this impeachment. I think most people are bored with it. I'm sort of flip-flopping on myself. I think that if the president's attorneys have to give rebuttal and tell their side of the story. Up to now, we except for a couple of minutes, it hasn't been done. In other words, the president's attorney should give their side in glorious detail. And I think once that's done, I think now many of the senators, I don't know if they can get enough. They only need 50 or 51. I think 50. And I think any Republican that votes to find Trump guilty, I think they're cutting their own throat. Now, normally I would say vote your conscience. But because the Democrats deliberately have totally politicized this, distorted this, lied about it, I'm more leaning towards dismissal. In other words, move for dismissal. In other words, you're done with this. We'll see what happens. But because of this, I think we will really see the final results. The consequences of the Democrats doing this will be in the November election. And what I'm saying is many Republicans, independents, and Democrats that didn't vote for Donald Trump in 2016, including me, will in 2020 come out to vote. and will vote for Donald Trump to punish the Democratic Party for pulling this stunt. And that's what it is a stunt. It's a smear campaign. And that's what they deserve. Now, I understand that these so-called managers, many of them, they're all the House representatives, every one of them, Democrats, Republicans, Independents, is up for re-election. And I know that many of these people come from so-called safe districts. So the chances of really punishing some of these managers is somewhat remote. But I think they should be. And that involves campaigning for Republicans, the strongest candidates that can defeat them. I think it's incumbent upon President Trump to nationalize this election and support the Republican candidates for representative. It's really essential that Donald Trump have the Republican Party gain control of the House and the Senate. Keep control of the Senate, but gain control of the House. And I think he might do that. But that's going to take a lot of effort, so it's going to take money and effort and campaigning and getting the right candidates to challenge these Democrats. See, many of these districts it's on the Republican and Democratic side. They're Democratic districts and the Republican districts. They've been every 10 years, we redraw the lines. So what happens is some Republicans are very difficult to replace because it's a Republican district, and the same for the Democrats. But there's at least 30, if not 40, that I think this can be done to. And I think if Trump focuses on this and they spend the money and get the right candidate, they can win. Now, if you're a regular listener to the show, you know I'm not a Democrat or Republican. We need a new political party that will challenge both of these parties. Because neither of these parties will balance the budget. They're running away from that. That's the so-called third rail. And because they won't do that, because in my mind, the most pressing problem today in the United States is government spending at the federal level is totally, completely out of control, unsustainable. And what happens, either the Democrats get control of the presidency, the House, and the Senate, or the Republicans get control of the presidency, the House, and the Senate, and they're both big spending parties. There's no financial responsibility. Two important things happen. Year in, year out, they run massive deficits. This year, it's estimated it'll be over $1,000 billion. In other words, over $1 trillion. And it's going to be like that for several years. We have to stop this. There's no sense of urgency. Why do we have to stop it? What's going to happen? Probably in 10 years or sooner, there are going to be major cuts to Medicare and Social Security. Why? We don't have the money to pay it. The only way the United States government can pay its bills today is borrow. That's why we have this huge deficit. In other words, we don't have the money to pay the bills. What we spend on is much greater than what our total tax collections are from all sources. It's every single year. Oh, some years it goes down, some years it goes up. But it's totally out of control. We're nowhere near a balanced budget. Ask yourself, do families, individuals have to balance their budget? You better believe it. Oh, I know you can charge it, but you can get in trouble doing it. And some people do with credit cards. Businesses have to balance their budgets. Schools, colleges, churches, charities, hospitals. You name it, you need to be financially responsible. Otherwise, you can get in financial trouble. In other words, you can't pay the bills. And you might have to even declare bankruptcy. Now, the United States is not going to declare bankruptcy. What they're going to do is print money to pay the bills. You can do that, too. They can print money, and they do it. At some point in the next 10 years, you're going to see significant spikes up in interest rates for Treasury securities. I'm talking bills, notes and bonds of various maturities or durations. And why significant? I mean as much as double or triple, just like Greece. And the reason why is Treasury securities are no longer considered risk-free. There's uncertainty as to whether or not the United States can pay it back. Now, how is the United States paying off the debt it has? It just issues new debt. And that's exactly what's going on. They just if a bill, note, or bond comes due, they pay it off by issuing another one. Now, they might change it to the length of the maturity, if you will, of the note or the bond. They just add more debt. That's why it doesn't go down. That's why it's headed. Right now, it's over $23 trillion, I believe, by the time Trump gets a second term, it'll be over $30 trillion, or at least approaching it. That's why I can't vote for a Democrat or Republican anymore. They're not responsible. And by not addressing this, ultimately, the bill comes due, and they don't have the money. Now, I know some people laugh. Oh, I recommend you permanently close 8 departments, as well as some agencies. They're never going to do that. I agree. Right now, no, nobody's saying it or doing it. But what happens when interest rates spike up double or triple, and it happens suddenly? Keep that in mind. What is the federal government going to do? They're going to have to close departments. A reduction in force. In other words, the so-called deep state, I don't think they're deep. They're bureaucrats. They're going to have to be retired and departments closed down. Why? What's the one thing that they need to do but won't do is cut your Social Security checks. That's the big one. Medicare as well. They either have to dramatically increase payroll taxes, Social Security taxes, Medicare taxes, and or both, cut the checks that you're receiving for Social Security. And the estimates are 20-25%. Those are the numbers I'm hearing. Now, they'll do as much as they can to avoid that by how? Borrowing. There's no end to it. They're just making the problem worse, and worse. That's why they're wasting time. Both parties are wasting time in terms of addressing this problem. There's no leadership here. And Donald Trump's not going to touch this with a 10-foot pole. He's not. Now, he was of the opinion, if you go back and look at some of the comments he made when he was running for president, he didn't think this thing was going to blow up before 2024. And I think he's probably right. So it's not my problem. And the phrase you hear is kick the can down the road. Now, why I'm going over this is we should be focusing on this. You would think both parties, both chambers, the House and the Senate, should be addressing this, should be worrying about this, spending their time on it. We pay them to represent us. And this is a major league big problem. They don't want to even go there. They're afraid of it. These are not leaders. There are a lot of talkers and followers, and they blame each other. And guess what? They're right, because it's both Democrats and Republicans, and fundamentally it's the American people that allowed them to do this. I'm just as guilty as most Americans. We let them do this to us. But I don't see either a Democrats as a party, the Republican Party, Democrat Party, whether it's in the House, in the Senate, or presidency, to address this. It's the status quo. They will not balance the budget, and they will not make fundamental changes to the tax system. So if you keep voting Democrat and Republicans, you're going to get this. So as much as I don't want to vote for Republican this November, I will. I definitely will vote for Trump and Mike Pence. Whether I vote for any other Republican remains to be seen. There are some Republicans I can vote for. But let me tell you a little secret that they don't want you to know, especially the Republicans. And I know I'm repeating myself, but a couple of days ago I was talking to a friend, and he was in front of his computer, I was in front of my computer. I said, okay, go to Conservative Review Scorecard. Google Conservative Review Scorecard. If you go there, you can do it by state, or you can get all of them. You want to know who your representative is, who your senator is, and how they voted. And because it's Conservative Review, you would expect that the A and the B, in terms of scores, the A's are 90 to 100, the B's are 80 to 89. How many Republicans get A's and B's? Less than 100. I think it might even be less than 50. Now, I didn't have time to literally count. Now, why do I say that? And I've said this before, but this is the fundamental problem with the Republican Party. If you look at the leadership, the heads of committees, all of them. Now, if you really think that the Republican Party is a conservative party, you might say, well, I would expect that the leadership would be A's and B's. Well, you would be wrong. They're F's. Most of them are between 30 and 50. That's an F. Take Senator Majority Leader Mitch McConnell. Look at what his score is. 30. He's actually gone down, okay? And see, some of these so-called stars of the impeachment hearings, representatives from certain, you look at their records, and they're 40s or 50s. That's still F. Who are they closer to? Oh, yes, the Democrats. Most of the Democrats are between 0 and 20. I think the highest maybe would be 30. Now, occasionally, you'll have someone that's a little higher. But they're still Fs. So the Republican leadership is closer to the Democratic leadership and the Democratic Party. That's why I don't vote Republican anymore. They're both big spending parties. They come up with this omnibus budget deal. Budget busters, that's what they are. Budget busters. And see, the point I'm making, you know, any president, I don't care if it's Trump or anyone, can propose a balanced budget. Don't tell me they can't. They can propose it. But what's going to happen? The House and the Senate will dispose of it. They're going to, because they have the responsibility for authorizing and appropriating funds for spending. The problem is in Congress. The heart of the problem is. And if you simply don't have enough votes, they're going to continue doing what they're doing. And they're not going to balance the budget. Neither party will balance the budget. And if you want fundamental tax reform, in other words, a broad-based consumption tax, they're not going to do it. They want the status quo. They'll tinker with the tax code, and that's what they do. Now, a major tax cut, I'm all for. Anytime you cut federal taxes and leaving more money in the hands of the people that earn it, that is what you should be doing. What the Republicans won't do and what Trump won't do is pay for it, not by going into debt, by cutting spending. That's why I say it's government spending. It's totally out of control. Now, I'm going on and on about this, and I know I'm somewhat repeating myself, but you would think, given the seriousness of this financial situation, that's what Congress, the Senate, and the House members should be focusing on. No, they're not. They're playing politics. Both parties are playing politics. The problem when the Democratic Party becomes controlled by leftists, and it is, they politicize everything. You got to vote the party line, and they politicize the impeachment process. That's why I call it an unconstitutional impeachment. These are not high crimes and misdemeanors. Now, you're going to get an argument, what's an impeachable offense? See, what's bad about this, you don't need a violation of federal law. Because if Donald Trump had violated a federal law, they should be citing the statute. What's the code section that he bought? They're not doing that. Instead, it's some ambiguous abuse of power. But ideally, in any impeachment, you would like a real crime and then something else. They don't have the something else. They don't have a real crime, nor do they have something else. They're just doing this to see if somehow, some way, and they don't have to convince all the Republicans. They really have to convince. Well, remember, the only way they can remove them, they got to get a two-thirds vote. They're never going to get even close to that. So at most that they can do is maybe get a majority of the votes, not the two-thirds. And then that's what they would run on. And I think that would damage Donald Trump. What they're not factoring in is, I think they have failed in what they've tried to do. They should have stopped this. If Pelosi was really in charge, stop this, after President Trump released the memorandum of conversation. That ruined the plans of the Democrats, yet they pursued it anyway. And now, you know, they go to the Senate. We have all this evidence, irrefutable. He should be thrown out, removed now. The quicker the better, but we need more evidence to prove our case. In other words, they don't have a case. They're lying. And people see through this. The senators see through it. Many of them are lawyers. Most of them are lawyers. But people with any common sense that watch this see this. I'm saying get on with it. I want to hear the President Trump's attorneys, enough is enough, and then have the vote. I don't think they need any more evidence. Acquit them now. And that will be, in my mind, and I think the Democrats know this, Donald Trump is going to be acquitted. There's no way they can get 67 votes or two-thirds votes. And I don't think they're going to get five Republicans. I think, again, if any Republican senator, such as Romney, or there are others, Collins, votes the way the Democrats, I think they're toast. And I think they know it, and they resent what the Democrats are doing. And I would say some of them would be committing political suicide, and I mean Senator Mitt Romney. He might not like Trump and have Trump derangement syndrome, but he's not stupid. So if he wants to be a one-term senator from Utah, he's going to have trouble even getting reelected, and he knows it. If he becomes a turncoat, I think he's through. And I think some of the other ones know that too. So I expect that the Republican Party, in terms of the senators, will be 100% united. Could I be wrong? Of course. But I find totally unconvincing the Democratic case. I find it worse. This is weaponizing the impeachment process. It's dangerous because they'll try it again, and the Republicans might try it. They never should have gone down this road. The only way they should have pursued impeachment, if they truly had, and I mean real solid evidence that Donald Trump first committed a crime and could cite what that crime is, like they could with Hillary Clinton. And I bring this up because what's going to be happening in the summer, ladies and gentlemen? Oh, yes, some of those Obama administration high-level officials, CIA head, Department of Justice, Attorney General, FBI director, their deputies, President Obama himself, his national security advisor, and others, people on the staff, I think there are 3 to 4 dozen people that misused the intelligence community by invading, surveilling Donald Trump and the people in his campaign. They broke the law. And if you break the law and get caught, you should pay the price. And I think you're going to see a number of indictments. Grand juries will be impaneled. The U.S. prosecutor will present the evidence to the grand jury. The grand jury will indict, I think, several dozen people in the Obama administration. And then probably next year or the following year, these people will be in court defending themselves. And Donald Trump has many reasons for making sure this happens, because he was falsely accused. First of Russian collusion, and now this. Why real crimes were committed in the Obama administration. And they did that. Why? Two reasons. They thought Hillary Clinton was going to win, and what they were doing would never see the light of day. They really thought that. They thought they could get away with it, and they didn't. But up to now, they have. That should not happen. In other words, the Obama administration used the intelligence community, FBI, CIA, NSA, National Security, National Security Agency, and others, and got assistance from some of our allies, intelligence services, the United Kingdom, Italy, to set up and smear Donald Trump and the people working for him. So all the people that were involved in this should be prosecuted. Now, let me warn you, what are these people going to say? President Obama authorized this, and we went to the FISA court. What they don't tell you is they misled the FISA court. And we all know that now. But again, the Inspector General of the Department of Justice, he issues a report, but he can't prosecute anyone. He can recommend that. It's up to the Department of Justice, the Attorney General, to assign U.S. attorneys, which he has, to go after these people that have broken the law. And supposedly that's happened. And keep in mind, they better, unlike what the Democrats are doing in the Senate, they better have the evidence. That's why it's going to take a lot more time. You don't want these people to get off on a technicality. Now, I'm not saying you have to have an open and shut case, but what the FBI did, Department of Justice people did, and the CIA overseas did, they broke the law. And what's going to happen, because what the Department of Justice does, no secret here, you start with the low-level guys, and what you're trying to do is flip them. In other words, they become an informant as to what their bosses were doing. And that's what will happen, because they don't want to go to prison or lose their life savings because they were following the orders of their bosses. And that's what some of that will happen. I think some of it has already happened. I bring that up because I'm listening to this. I've had the hearings on all day, and I'm listening to these people, and I'm just shaking my head. Why are we wasting time on this? The Democrats are scared. They know if they can't succeed, and I don't think they will. I really don't. I would be shocked if President Trump were impeached. There's nowhere near the votes they need. You know, 1, 2, or 3 is not going to. Remember, it's 53 Republican senators to 47 Democrats or independents. And of those 53, they maybe have 3 to 5 that could vote with the Democrats. But that's not going to get them impeached. To convict them, to convict Donald Trump, you need a 2/3 vote, and they won't have it. The best that the Democrats can hope for is to get 50 or 51 votes, either right down the middle tie, and the only way they can do that is they get 3 Republican votes. Or, if they want to get the majority, get 4. We know there's somewhere between 1 and 5 that could maybe, vote the way the Democrats want. I don't think any of them will. The stakes are too high. And this is a, because, see, if they vote the way the Democrats want them to vote, I think you're guaranteeing that the people in the state or the district will vote them out of office. And see, that's what the Democrats are trying to do. They're trying to embarrass and get out of office some of these senators. And the senators understand that. The rhinos understand that. That's why I keep saying, if you call the vote, I think it's going to be 53-47. Let's at least have Donald Trump and his attorneys have a chance to defend themselves. I'm getting real tired of hearing all these managers repeating themselves, saying the same talking points. They go on and on and on. It's the big lie technique. Repeat a lie often enough, and then some people believe the lie. I think it's laughable. I don't think it's very wise to do this. Now, why do you think they do it? Because who's in league with them? Big lie media. Your television networks, including CNN, and your, to the extent that they're still in existence, some of your large city papers, such as the New York Times, Washington Post, Los Angeles Times, and others. But what they don't understand, some of them I think do, they don't have a monopoly on public opinion anymore in the United States. What I mean by that, they've lost credibility over time. They have deliberately misled the American people. And once they're caught at doing that, lying, misleading, however you want to characterize it, the person says, well, either I'm not going to watch or I'm not going to read. I can't trust these people. And it's clear that most of these people are liberal or progressive Democrats themselves. And they don't have a clear separation between news and editorial. It's mixed, blended. And what you're getting is propaganda. And once a person sees that, he's going to totally, if not completely, disregard what you say. In other words, your propaganda has no effect because they're not listening to you, they're not watching you, they're not reading. So no matter how many times you say they need to impeach Trump and Adam Schiff is doing a terrific job. If you listen to Big Lie Media, Adam Schiff is doing a terrific job. Yeah, he's lying through not everything, but most of it. So they go along with it. They're applauding and they're cheerleaders. See, I would have fired, if you had people of integrity, what Adam Schiff did when he made up what the telephone conversation between Trump and Zelensky was about, made it up whole cloth, he should have been fired on the spot. In other words, you're not going to be chairman of the committee. See, that is a lesson. He went too far. And he got caught, and you can watch the videos, compare it with the transcript. Now, why do you think Adam Schiff did it? Oh, yeah, he knows there are people out there that know what he did. But what he's saying and what the big lie media are going to support, they're not telling the people that support him that he did that. Now, many of them know, but they keep reelecting him and reelecting him. In other words, it's aimed at the true believers, the Democrats. That's really what all this talk is that the Democrat managers are doing. That's not really addressed at the senators. That's addressed at the American people. And that's the important point to remember. The real people that are going to decide this is not the senators. It's the American people in November. And that's why I say and predict that Donald Trump will win a majority vote. And he needs to win a majority vote to get a reelected president. And I think he's going to get more people added to his base, such as people like me. Because what the Democratic Party did in the House and soon, hopefully, in the Senate is disgraceful, beyond the pale. They're deliberately undermining the Constitution because, in my mind, this is not a legitimate impeachment. They don't have a high crime and misdemeanor. And that's what Republicans, independents, and even Democrats, to the extent they follow it, that's what they conclude. Now, the true believers on, you have true believers in the Republican and Democratic Party. They're going to go along with what the party and big lie media is saying. And you hear that. I had I'm in the newsroom, I'm preparing a show, but behind my back is a big television screen, and I had it on C-SPAN. And when they have recesses, they will take calls. And yeah, the Republican activists, the Democrat activists are calling in. And you hear, especially the Democrats, you hear the same thing. They're not aware of many things, but they're repeating, they repeat, it's an echo chamber. They're repeating what they've heard or seen on television. So even why I think it was the height of arrogance and imprudence, and I think being stupid, to do what Adam Schiff did. Up to now, he's not paid any price. There are some people, I think, that still believe what Adam Schiff said was what the president said, when it's clear that it isn't. And that's why President Trump keeps reminding the press, look at the transcript or the memorandum of conversation and compare it with what Adam Schiff said. Adam Schiff was lying, lying, lying. But that's the big lie technique. I remember when this was happening because I was listening to some talk radio. And some of the callers were calling in the host and saying, wait a minute, did Donald Trump really say this? And the answer is, no, he didn't. And by then, the transcript was out. So I'm bored about this whole thing. I'm mad about it, but, you know, I can't do anything. I got to wait to November to get my jollies and vote for Trump. And I'm not really happy about doing that. I really hope that in sometime between now and the next 10 years, that the American people finally, in enough numbers, stand up a new political party to take on both the Democrats and Republicans. And that's difficult. And when you're taking them on, your game plan is to replace one of these parties, preferably both, but at least one of them. And I think the weakest right now is the Democratic Party. They are very much divided. There's been a coup, really, in the Democratic Party. It has moved way left. That's why I don't think anyone they nominate is going to succeed in becoming president. I don't care if it's Warren or Sanders or even Biden. Biden is way damaged goods. There's a lot more there that's going to come out. And it's out there, but if he gets the nomination, chapter and verse of what he did and his son did, not only in the Ukraine, but also in China's coming out and other things. And I think Joe Biden has, and you can see it in the debates, he has signs, indications, that he's losing his mental capacity. He's going senile. That takes several years. He can't articulate well his positions. He fumbles it and makes mistakes that you shouldn't be making. So for a lot of reasons, I really doubt that Joe Biden will be the candidate. Now, the smart money is on Joe Biden. The Democratic establishment wants Joe Biden to be their candidate. Now, I can't think of anyone that's a Democrat I don't think he has the money. I'm thinking of Bloomberg. I don't think Bloomberg's strategy might have worked had he ran from the very beginning. In other words, got involved in the debates. He decided not to do that. I think he got in when he came to the conclusion that many of people have come to, is none of these Democratic candidates can beat Trump. I don't care what the polls say. I don't pay much attention to these polls because there are too many ways to game it. And they're just dishonest with themselves. Unless you control a poll and you know it's an internal poll, you pay for it, you ask the questions, and you make sure you're getting the legitimate results. In other words, you're not playing games with the poll. Other than that, in those polls, you seldom, if ever, see. Because some people, remember what happened in 2016. Hillary Clinton is going to be the next president. He takes it to the bank 80%, 90%. No. What they do is so they overweight Democrats and underweight Republicans and then tell you, they're trying to create news, tell you that Hillary Clinton's the next president. She's going to get 55, 56%. Well, did she? I don't think so. She didn't win. And it's not the popular vote, it's the Electoral College vote. So I don't pay much attention to polls. I think the American people have had it up to here with this whole thing. That's why I think they need to wrap it up. I think the Mitch McConnell has to move this along. The sooner the Republicans can take the vote to acquit Donald Trump, the better. And that's how they should play it. Let Trump's attorneys rebut what the House managers have been going on and on and on about, and then call the vote. I don't think you need any more evidence or witnesses. Why? That's the responsibility of the House. The senators are a jury. They don't gather evidence. Just think of it, it's inappropriate to compare it to an American courtroom because the juries don't say, well, you need more evidence, you need to call so-and-so. It's up to the two defendants to go at it. And that's the House managers, think of them as the district attorney, if you will, the prosecutor, and the defense attorneys, and those are the president's attorneys. Let them make their opening statements, and defend each another, and then let the senators decide, is Donald Trump guilty or not? And I think objectively, he's not. I didn't say he's a saint, and I'm not saying a telephone conversation was perfect, but it doesn't rise to a high crime, a misdemeanor. That's why they're begging for new witnesses and more evidence. And if the Republicans make a mistake and let that happen, it'll get out of hand. And we'll be listening to this nonsense for another week or two or three or four or five. That would be a huge mistake. But dumb things occasionally happen. Enough of this. I'm sick of this whole impeachment trial, and the sooner it's over, the better. And I think it'll be 53-47 for acquittal. But big lie media, together with the Democrats, will criticize it. Well, they're going to do that anyway. No matter what happens, they're going to do it. Let them. Because what happens next, and this is really why they're doing this, all those indictments are going to come out. And then in November, the American people are going to speak. And I know I'm going on a limb. I have one qualifier, though. I truly believe that Donald Trump, first of all, and this is important, will get a majority of the votes, the popular votes. If he does that, he will win more than the 270 that he needs to get, minimum, of electoral college votes. But because of the backlash or the pushback, the fact that the American people are angry about this, oh, yeah, this motivates the Trump supporters and the Republicans. But I'm not a Trump supporter or a Republican. I'm mad at what the Democrats did. Fundamentally, it's dishonest. And they're trying to, what they're really attacking is the vote, the voters. But it's not only the people that voted for Trump, the people that didn't vote, but want the voting not to be, it's the voters decide who the president is. Trump won fair and square. And no group of conspirators, plotters in the Democratic Party should undo that. And that's what they're doing. Remember, no president has been found guilty and removed from office. Now, I know Nixon resigned because he knew if he went through with it, he would have been removed. But he knew he committed crimes. He did. Keep that in mind. Now, there's another story I want to spend a few minutes on because I think it's somewhat serious. And that is the virus that's coming out of China. And it is in the United States. It is in Japan. It is in Thailand. It has spread. 2 points. And I've been doing some research on this. The experts on this said the numbers are understated by the Chinese. I'm not surprised about that. Any virus is dangerous. It can kill you. I had the flu towards the end of last year. How did it start? I was coughing. And in a few days, I had a fever. A flu is caused by viruses. Did I have a flu shot? No, I didn't have a flu shot. Now why? People say, you got to get a flu shot. I said, I'll tell you why. When I was in the Air Force, I was required, I was ordered to get a flu shot. I had no choice in the matter. You will go down to the theater and get your flu shot. And all the people in the office, military, went to the theater, and you had people given the flu shot. And what happened to me? I got very, very sick for about 3 or 4 days. And I said, never again. I was healthy. I didn't have any problems. I know we got to get our flu shot or blah, blah, blah. I was a guinea pig, but I was an officer in the Air Force, and you have to follow orders. And I said, well, when I'm not in the Air Force, and I spent 5 years in the Air Force, and then I resigned my commission. No regrets, but I said, I'm not going to get another flu shot because, and I know every year they sort of play Russian roulette. Well, which one do we think is going to be the flu? And they make sure that's the one, but if they guess wrong, it's not going to work. So I say, I'm making a calculated risk. And yep, I got the flu. I'm saying got the flu. I had a serious cough, had trouble sleeping, sore throat, cough. It's a cold. Before we had the flu shots, I had a cold. Colds are caused by viruses. And viruses are very small. I'm taking a biology class, and I'm learning about cells. It's primarily about cells. It's the first course in biology. But we were speaking about viruses, and the instructor also teaches the course on viruses and was giving us some insights. You need to pay attention to this. You need to be concerned because they can be easily spread. What you should do when you're working or in school or college, if you truly have the flu, you should stay home. Now, that's easier said than done. You pay a penalty for that. So even though I had a cough, I didn't have it for that long, but it sort of hung on. It was a mild cold. That's a better way to describe it. It's the flu. How did I get it? I'm on a college campus. And I was kidding the instructor because she had it first. I said, you're spreading the flu to your students, and I got it. But that's how it spreads. It's not all viruses, but some viruses are spread through humans when they cough. So it has killed over 600 people, and it is in the United States and other countries. But what are we talking about? Now, this is the early stages, and you got to be careful. It's one city province in China where it started. Call it ground zero. You can even get a picture. And the suspicion it was spread through meat, seafood. So people had contact with it, they got it, and then it is contagious and can spread. I'm not trying to make you an expert on viruses, but I want to get perspective. How many people are in China, communist China? Over 1,500 million people. How many people are in the United States? Over 330 million. And yes, this flu can travel because people travel today all over. They travel in China. Right now, they're celebrating the Chinese New Year, and a lot of people are traveling, visiting family, whatever. Communist Chinese this time are concerned about it, and they should be. So I'm not trying to minimize that you need to take certain precautions, but I don't want to panic you. We need to watch it, be concerned, and see what happens. Remember, I was in Dallas when we had that outbreak of Ebola. Now, I took that real serious because I didn't live too far from where one of those persons lived. Fortunately, even though it is contagious and some people had some of the signs, fortunately, it was caught in time. And you need to take a lot more precautions on that than the flu. So pay attention, listen a little more closely to the report you're hearing. Don't panic and get your flu shot if you still can get it. So I'll be the first one to say, if we suddenly see thousands of cases, see what are the health bureaucrats afraid of? A pandemic. Like influenza, I think it's 1917, 1918, after World War II, a lot of people got killed. We had a pandemic. Young people got killed. This virus is killing old people, especially men. I'm in that category. So I'm paying attention to it. You see, when you see who it's really affecting and you see how it's transmitted, it looks like it's humans are spreading it. And usually it's either the young or the old. We don't want a repeat of what happened after World War I. Many, I don't know the exact number, millions of Americans die. And you can go on YouTube and there are some stories about that if you don't know that history. That's what we really need to avoid because now travel, international travel, is more significant, which spreads it to many nations. What are the symptoms? A fever. Now, my initial symptom was not a fever. It was a cough, a persistent cough. And guess what I took? I took cough medicine. But it didn't go away. Now, for a while, for a couple of days, it was really focused. I'm going to edit this, but I coughed twice. And it's a deep cough. So coughing, fever are the biggies. But what happens if you're coughing and have a fever? What do most people say? I got a cold. Probably caught it at work from somebody or college for somebody. But it can quickly kill. Now, that's what you need to be focusing on. And there's very little they can do about it. You know, they can make, I shouldn't have said that, but some people die quickly from this. I guess that's the better way to say it. But there's no real drugs for this. A virus is not bacteria that you can use antibiotics for. What do you need to do? Stay home. Don't spread it. Get a lot of sleep, rest, liquids. If you have a persistent cough, take cough syrup. I have a sinus problem, mainly affecting me during the hay fever season. So I will take Sudafed or Benadryl. And usually if I catch it early, I don't have any problems. For example, right now, my nose is not stuffed up because I take Sudafed and Benadryl at night. That makes me sleepy. And if I have a persistent cough, yeah, I'm going to take cough syrup and a lot of liquids. And if I could, I would not do the radio show because talking can irritate your throat. What I'm saying to you is you need to pay attention to this. You don't have to become an expert of virus. And you know if you're sick and if you're truly sick, stay home, sleep. Truly sleep. You can go to the hospital and doctor if you want, if that makes you feel better. But I'm just telling you, there's no medicine they really can give you. And I have a lot of information that I put on my website, and that's promptpops.com. crockpops.wordpress.com. And if you go there under my photograph, you'll have links to each show. But under that, you'll have my show prep. And this is the second story. And I have information, a lot of pictures, but also information as to what's happening. What I'm trying to say is you got to keep it in perspective. But if you get sick, stay home, get sleep, cough medicine, and hopefully you'll get well and not die. And up to now, in my mind, there's no reason to panic yet, because we're not seeing thousands of people in thousands of cities dying yet. But you don't want this to spread, and that's why China is not letting people travel out of this area. So stay tuned. I'm not going to cover this every day, but every week or so, I'll give you an update. And some of the experts are saying China is underestimating how many people actually have it. I'll give them the benefit of the doubt this time. They might not know, but a lot of people will go to the hospital or doctors, and that's when they have confirmed cases of the flu. Thank you for listening, and now my favorite song, America the Beautiful.
My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas. We're the voice of Richland College.
You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by PronkPops.wordpress.com. and KDUX Web Radio.wordpress.com.